Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. The U.S. Embassy in Kiev says the first shipment of a $200 million security support package for Ukraine has arrived in the country, part of a U.S. effort to shore up Ukrainian defenses as thousands of Russian troops mass along the border. From Moscow, NPR's Charles Maines reports.
The aid shipment follows Secretary of State Antony Blinken's visit to Kiev this week, in which he pledged U.S. support for Ukrainian sovereignty and additional aid in the event of a Russian incursion. Similar military shipments have poured in from the U.K. and soon the Baltic nations, which announced they have White House approval to provide U.S.-made anti-aircraft Stinger missiles. Russia has criticized the moves as destabilizing an already tense situation.
President Biden is expected to focus on the tensions between Russia and Ukraine today. The White House says he will discuss the situation with his national security team at the Camp David presidential retreat in Maryland. The New York City Police Department mourning the loss of a fellow officer. The officer was fatally shot in Harlem last night. David Cruz of member station WNYC reports that city officials are raising concerns about recent incidents that led to violence toward police.
Police received a 911 call for a domestic dispute between a mother and son inside an apartment building on West 135th Street and Lenox Avenue. The son had been inside a back bedroom when two officers approached the bedroom. Police said that's when the son, identified as LaShawn McNeil, quickly opened fire, fatally hitting one officer and wounding another. A third officer then shot McNeil. The officers were rushed to Harlem Hospital. At a briefing inside the hospital hours after the shooting, Mayor Eric Adams said the gun violence must end.
This was an attack on the city of New York, and it's an attack on the children and families of this city.
This was the third and fourth NYPD officer hit by gunfire this past week. For NPR News, I'm David Cruz in New York.
Mayor Adams is calling the shootings a failure at the federal level. He's urging Washington to help stop the flow of guns into the city. New vaccine requirements at U.S. ports of entry going into effect today. NPR's Joel Rose reports rules will now apply to essential as well as non-essential travel.
The Department of Homeland Security will require COVID-19 vaccinations for all non-U.S. individuals entering the country at land ports of entry and ferry terminals. That mandate will now apply to so-called essential travelers, including truck drivers and nurses who are crossing the Mexican and Canadian borders by land or ferry. DHS has already required proof of vaccination for all non-essential foreign visitors since reopening the borders for tourism in November. But immigration authorities had delayed enforcement for essential workers until now to allow time for them to get vaccinated. The new vaccine requirements do not apply to U.S. citizens or lawful permanent residents. Joel Rose, NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News. The United Nations is condemning an airstrike that hit a detention center run by Yemen's Houthi rebels. The strike by planes from the Saudi-led military coalition is reported to have killed more than 70 people and is reported to have intensified against what it says are Houthi military targets after the Houthi rebels claimed a drone and missile attack on the United Arab Emirates earlier this week. Buddhist peace activist, poet, and author Thich Nhat Hanh has died at the age of 95. NPR's Vanessa Romo reports.
The Zen master was a beloved teacher and civil rights activist who popularized mindfulness around the world and spread the teachings of engaged Buddhism. Among disciples and scholars, he's considered second only to the Dalai Lama in influence. Born Nguyen Xuan Bao, he became a monk at age 16, against his parents' wishes. He went on to teach at Columbia and Princeton universities in the early 1960s, but it was his anti-war activism in Vietnam that got him exiled from his native country. It was that work that led Martin Luther King Jr. to nominate him for a Nobel Peace Prize. In all, he wrote more than 100 books and built a network of monasteries around the globe. He suffered a severe brain hemorrhage in 2014. 2 years later, he returned to the same temple where he began his spiritual journey to quietly transition. Vanessa Romo, NPR News.
Lockdown went into effect today in the remote Pacific island nation of Kiribati after passengers aboard the first commercial flight in months tested positive for the coronavirus. Officials say 36 people tested positive. Until now, Kiribati has only had two cases of COVID-19. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.